How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
Well, it's good that you're all in the house of the God this morning. It's all good to see you guys this morning. I'm glad I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said the weather forecast for last night was supposed to be freezing rain. I'm like, it's going to have to get really cold. So I'm glad we didn't have that to come to this morning. But is this that kind of year that we have to like, when I come to church, because I come here really early because I'm spiritual. The deck is nice and dry, and then it gets kind of slickery. So my daughter fell down the stairs this morning. So, but she's young. She's young and tough.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm gonna pray for that. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you just for the joy of who you are in our lives. We just thank you that you give us joy. And we can have joy in the midst of whatever we are going through. Joy does not depend on circumstances. Joy is something that you give us that transcends everything. And Father, I just pray that you just fill us with extreme joy this morning. That we just operate in that place. And that we just worship and that we hear everything that we are this morning together in these few moments, together as brothers and sisters in you, that our hearts and lives just be knit together in these few moments together, and just extreme joy. That word just keeps coming through this morning to me. And I know why, personally. But Father, I think we all need to be in that place this morning. I thank you, again, for your love for us that is so unbelievable. And we can't even comprehend the kind of love you love us with. But Father, I would pray that we just continue to have the faith to believe that you love us that much. And there's nothing we can do to earn it. And we can do nothing to do to lose it. You're going to love us because that's who you are. And thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
Of God, the nation at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the voice he says, Almighty One of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariot and fire. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us at the shelter. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what our family says, what man has to say. It only matters what you say, the truth of your words that come out of your mouth, that speak identity, that speak value and worth to our lives, Lord. You that it is finished, that the veil was torn, that we may have access to come boldly before you in the throne room and to crawl up in your lap and to tell you everything that is on our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the intimacy of that, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. As we draw near to you, you draw near to us.
that you are never far away, that you are always right beside us, always before us and behind us and all around us, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your voice that shatters the darkness, Lord, that we are more than conquerors and co-heirs with Christ because of the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you that we have the ability to be called children of the Most High God. We're not servants, we're not your slaves, we're not beneath you like that, Lord. We are your friends, your children, Lord. You are our Father. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Comprehend your impact.
Father, we thank you that you are worthy, that you are holy, that you are mighty, Lord. Lord, you continue to just amaze me just in what I do in my week, Lord, just how you show up, Lord, and I just thank you. I'm just in reverence of who you are. I'm in awe of the mighty God that I serve. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Children are dismissed. Yes, we have children's class today. Yes, yes. So, children, you're dismissed. Again, age only, not acting. Big kids too. Yeah, all the children, those age groups. Miss Cindy, you have an announcement. Sorry. So you only want one? You don't want more than that? Just one?
If all of you want to sign up,
okay. I just asking, it's clarifying. You know. I have been married long enough to clarify what's being requested. I don't always succeed at that, but I try. All right. Well, awesome. I'm glad that our children are back in classes. That's good. I always like to see that. I love to hear them thunder out of here. It's always a good thing. Fire Dance was here this last week, and it was awesome, and they were here using the yard and the building, and I don't know, was that you, Ken, that showed up at 4:30? Sorry, that was my fault. I left the door unlocked. Very good of Pastor to leave the crash bar unlocked. It was super windy, and it was opening it, and I get called first, but I slept right through the guardian calling me, so. It's all right. Dave and Judy Gallant call at 4 o'clock their time, and they said, well, we can come check it, but it'll be May, so you might want to call somebody else on the list. So, things happen, so I can't get too bent out of shape, and people forget things, because I woke up, I was like, why is guardian calling, whatever, because it happens, and then just Father's going, yeah, but you left that door unlocked, and it's really windy. Like, oh, right. So, it's good. God protects pastors that forget to lock their church up. But it's good. It's been a great week. I've just had some people really speak some really cool things in my life this week, and some realizations, and it's been good. So we're in a different place, and it's awesome. But it's interesting. I was talking to my sister yesterday, and it was fascinating to hear how many pastors are struggling right now. It's not just, kind of feel like you're being kind of weakling when you struggle with things. And her pastor in Kodiak just went on an emergency, a month-long just break. And it wasn't anything traumatic happening in his life. Didn't sound like just he just needed to get away. My mom and dad's pastor in Canada, same kind of thing. He's taking a month off and just needs to get away. And so it seems like that kind of thing is happening. And so we really need to be praying. I know you all pray for me a lot, and I appreciate that, but there's lots of other pastors, even in our own state, they're under a lot of attack, and whether it's just health or whatever is going on in their life, so continue to lift them up, lift each other up, because, we're in these interesting times, for sure, and we all can use each other's prayers, because it makes a difference, it really does. I think there's times we go through day in, day out, and if you're on the prayer chain where you see all the prayer requests that, who's in charge of that now? Susan Steele, thank you. I was in charge of, she just got back, by the way, she was down south visiting her mom. She's back. She's all good. But, Jim's got some health issues that just flared up. So just be in prayer for them too. They're all kind of squirreled away. So lots of things going on, but God is still in control. Amen? Because it sure feels like sometimes it's like, really, God, it seems like everything's just kind of falling apart. But where is our faith and where is our trust and what are we putting our hope in? And I know, again, it's easy to pick on our current situation that we're going on, but this isn't anything new. God is still God. People are still people. Sin is still sin. It's not any different from the beginning as it is now. It just looks a little different. Right? But we have the Word of God to rely on. That's why I keep coming back. For those of you been with you know, being here for a long time, you know that this is what I live on right here. This is all I believe in. Amen. This is all I preach out of. That's it. And, you know, it's, I just try to keep it as simple as possible because that's what I understand. And I believe God's in the simple. He tells us to come like little children, and so I think that's how we should read Scripture and how we should understand. And if we want to, but that's what I love about Scripture. You can go from the super simple to the people that want to dissect every little nuance of it. It's all there. And all of it is powerful, and all of it is important, and all of it's relevant. So we are in 1 John this morning, 1 John chapter 3. And I think we're going to finish up chapter 3 today. It's going to be awesome. 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. So only two verses. We should do good. And this is a commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And this is a commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So I was reading through that. I've read through that multiple times as I've been through. We've been going through 1 John. I've been reading ahead, and now I've read through the Scripture countless times in my lifetime. But to me, just kind of what kind of jumped out this last week is I was just kind of thinking about things. Again, just kind of taking it back to foundational stuff. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to ask a question, you're all probably going to say, well, yes, I do. Do you believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ? All right, but what does that look like? That was a question posed to me. It's like, what does it look like for me to believe in Jesus Christ? In the name of his Son, what does it look like? Is my relationship with Jesus just because it's what I know is going to keep me, have an eternal foundation, eternal place in heaven? Is that the only reason I believe in Jesus? Is it just a ticket to heaven? Or is believing in Jesus really transform my life here and now in the situations in which we find ourselves every day? And that question was kind of posed to me by a father this last week. It's like, do you really believe? I know you say you do, and I know you've given your life, and I know you've preached a lot, and you spent a lot of hours, all those kinds of things. But son, at the end of the day, do you really believe? And I really do. And so the question wasn't like a chastisement from father, but he's like, son, what do you really believe about my son Jesus? Are you just talking to him? And again, we go through those things like, are we just talking to him when we're going through the hard times? Because that tends to when we do that. Or are we celebrating those times when things are going amazing and great and our life is all really good and we're like, man, I believe in that? Because a lot of times when things are going good and we have enough money and we have enough food, we never have enough of everything, we tend to go, oh, I got this handled, right? My paycheck is covering everything. Those nice big fat dividends we get every year are covering everything, right? Not, right? Can't wait for that stimulus check to come out, right? Put us trillions of dollars in debt again, right? It's crazy, right? No, I don't like to talk about politics. You all know that. But I'm just saying, but that's the thing that people hang their hat on, right? I think that's even inside the church. We hang our hat on those kind of things. We have our hopes in certain things, and when things don't go the way we want to, because we have this plan, it's a good plan, and it doesn't come to fruition, it's like, man, we really get bent out of shape. I mean, not me, but other people. Shh, you go ahead. Yeah, but when you know, I you know, I like to get my hopes up, but I also have that pessimistic side of me that goes, but it's probably not going to happen. And when it doesn't, even though I've kind of prepared myself, I still get mad. I was like, well, you kind of set yourself up for that. Right, but where's my hope? I'm not saying we can't have some anticipation of things happening, but where is it? You know, how much time in that situation did I spend on my knees asking, Father, is this what you want me to do? Even though it seems like a really good idea. I can think of situations recently that happened. As I was thinking about afterwards, like, how much time did I spend praying about that? None. It wasn't a bad choice, right? The thing that I was thinking about and it would have been a really good thing didn't happen, and I was really mad. And it was like, okay, but how much time did you spend asking your Father if that was the solution to your problem? How much belief did I have? And it's again, we talk about, well, we believe in God. Do we believe about it in all these situations? Is he just there for when we have those emergencies? Do we have this, what it says in 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him, and by this we know that he abides in us. What is this? What is it we know? That we believe in him and we love one another. That's the evidence. That's the evidence that he abides in us and we abide in him, is if we're believing in Jesus Christ and we're loving one another. It's really interesting. God took me to a passage of scripture that really kind of drives us home, and it's going to be a few verses here. But there's an account in John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, or I know Nick loves to have it when I throw, don't give him the scripture ahead of time, but he's really good. John chapter 6, starting verse 22. This is an account of Jesus, part of his ministry. And keep in mind this, do we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another? So keep that in mind as you listen to and you read along with this passage of scripture in John chapter 6, starting in verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat while with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And again, as I was reading through there, why were they seeking Jesus? You can talk to me. Why were they seeking Jesus? Do you know what that's referencing? When he fed the, I don't know which time it was, but he just got done feeding the 5,000, right? Then he goes across the lake. Why were they seeking Jesus, do you think? I mean, it doesn't tell us why. I mean, it kind of does as we continue on. What's that? For bread. They were looking because he had just done this miracle, right? Pretty fantastic miracle. He takes these few loaves, a few fish, and feeds a bunch of people. Miraculously. Right? So it's kind of like we can get all... You know, but it's like, but why are they seeking him? Because like they're really, yeah, their bellies were full. And we're going to see that here in a minute. But why do we seek Jesus? Again, that question was just hammered at me this week in a way that my relationship is with Father. When some people hear hammered, they think it is a very negative thing. It's a very positive thing for me because that's how Father talks to me, especially when I'm kind of being hard-headed. I was talking with a friend this week and said, and this usually only applies to men, said some men either learn by a 2x4 or sometimes it takes a Mack truck to hit us and then we finally get it, right? But I would like to know, why am I seeking Jesus? Why am I living this life? Because I grew up in a Christian home? Is that the only reason? Is that the only reason that my father was a pastor, my dad was a missionary, and I grew up in this lifestyle? Is that why? Is my seeking Jesus because I want to have this intense, intimate relationship with him every single moment of the day? That should be my only sole source and reason for seeking Jesus. Not for anything else. Everything else that comes along with that is extra. It's frosting on the cake, if you like cake. It's a cherry filling on top of cheesecake, if you like cheesecake, right? Don't shake your head. That's a sin. Cheesecake is good. Right? But why do... So I'm posing these questions because I want you to really think of, because like, I think, at least for me, we can get caught in these ruts of like, we go through the motions of life. We come and we do church. I don't want to come and do church. I want to do life with brothers and sisters in this place, and we can come, we can celebrate, we can look at God's word, and then the rest of the week, we're ministering to the people in the world. You understand that's your job, right? That's not my job. That's a piece of my job. So they were seeking Jesus, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabboni, when did you come here? I don't know why I just crack up seeing some of these. Like, they just felt like, when did you come here? Well, he goes, obviously before you. I mean, he doesn't say that, but it's like, to me, I just see silly things in scripture sometimes. They ask some of the dumbest questions. But I ask dumb questions too, right? Have you ever found yourself praying? It's like, why did I pray that? That was such a stupid thing to pray. I already know the answer, right? Anyway, kind of like here. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me. Not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. What a statement. It wasn't they weren't seeking him because of the miracle. They were seeking him because they got their bellies full. Oof. Interesting. You're not seeking me because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Not a bad question. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Again, I just said a moment ago, I love saying things that are simple. That's a pretty simple answer. You ask a question, here's the answer. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent, period. End of discussion. You want to know, do the work of God? Believe in Jesus Christ with every core of your existence. That's how you do the work of God. Not programs. Now, please understand when I say this. I'm all about children's ministries and all those kinds of things. But, you know, that should be doing the work of God, because back there, better be teaching those children who God is. Amen. That's what that's about. It's not about entertaining and keeping this service quiet, because you all know I don't mind being loud in here because I can talk over screaming kids. Yeah. It's good being pastor's family. Get picked on a lot. No, but it's like, that's one of the things I have loved from the day that I walked into this church, what, 15 years ago? A lot of years ago. And that was one of the things that impressed me more than anything else, was the inclusion of children in the service. And nobody squawked. That baby was making noise. The little kid was running around. Is that not the body of Christ? And some of us stuffy adults need to run around like a little child a lot more than we do. Right? And we get stuffy and we get all spiritual about it. And like, God's like, yo, get over yourself. Be like those little children that are running around making noise. Because I guarantee you they're operating a lot most of the time in that joy. All right? They don't got anything to worry about. They're surrounded by people who love them and protect them. All right? This is a work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, again, I get it, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Whew. What signs do you do that we may believe? What work do you perform? How often do we may not ask that particular questions in that way, but I know I've asked that question to Father in those moments. Like, what work do you perform? How are you providing? What are you doing in my life that makes me believe that you got it all under control? I've asked those questions recently. Not in those so many words. same thing applies. But here's the thing, in my relationship with the Father, just like Jesus is going to continue on here, he's going to, if we're willing to listen, he's going to give us the truth of the matter. He's going to answer those questions. When I ask those questions from a heart that's frustrated or angry or sad or broken, or I don't even know the emotion that I'm trying to convey. Because we get in that place where we're upset about something and we don't even know what we're upset about. That's really frustrating. Because I like having, here's the things I need to look at, and here's the things I need to attack, and here's the things I need to deal with. And there's times that I'm not able to see that. And that's why God gave me a wife. That's why God gave me children. That's why God gave me an elder board. That's why God gave me really close friends that I do life with. That's why God gave me all of you, by the way. Do you understand? That's all. I know I've said this many times. I'll keep saying it. Because some of you are going to forget. That's all your job is to help keep me where I'm supposed to be. I'm accountable to you. Not you to me. I mean, part of that. Right? But as I hear over and over and over these pastors failing, either morally or other ways, or just struggling, and I think about, because I don't know a lot of these guys personally, obviously I'm hearing about them from across the nation or whatever, I ask myself the question, where is their accountability? Do they have those people in their life that they're accountable to? Do they have where they're just digging in and they have people asking them hard questions of their life? Do they have that? Because I would almost guarantee they do not. And if they do, they're ignoring them and they're stepping over them. And they're not walking where they could be. And I'm not, obviously, never going to walk perfectly. That's not the thing. But I'm saying I try to put all these things into place so I can, you know, have this place where I'm doing the work the Father wants me to do. That I personally am walking this place. Man, I want the work I want to do is I believe in him in this place that is where I don't even have to say anything to anybody because it just gets on them. My belief in Jesus Christ. But I love how they get here. They talk about, you know, talking about how the fathers ate the man in the wilderness. In verse 32, Jesus said this. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Again, Jesus is like, look, you're focusing the wrong thing. You think it was Moses who gave you this bread. It wasn't Moses. Moses was just leading, and God provided this miraculous way to eat in the desert. But then it wasn't even about that, because Jesus changes, "But my Father gives you true bread from heaven." He wasn't even talking about man anymore. And again, we get focused in the, so often, at least for me, I get focused in the physical world right in front of me, and I don't operate a lot of times as much in the spiritual as I need to. There's so much spiritual that goes on around us. I was talking to a friend this last week. We were talking about experiences, and I was talking about when I used to do youth back in Colorado and learning about all the things that kids would get high on. And it wasn't about going out and buying stuff from a drug dealer. There was stuff that grew wild in the mountains of Colorado that they could dry out, these berries that they could dry out and smoke, and it was like dropping acid. And the descriptions of these kids that were telling me when they would go on these trips, and I don't have anything scripturally to back it up, but I think in those moments of the descriptions that I've heard from them and others, I believe the veil is removed and they're able to see into the spiritual realm. Because what they describe is exactly what I see when I think of the demonic power. Right? So, but here's the thing. In all of that, and I'm able to, in those moments, step into those kids' lives and like, look, yes, regardless if that's the case or not, here's the truth. We have the ability to believe in him whom the Father sent, the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. life. Life. And I think about all the time about people who aren't living in this place of relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't believe in him, and not just believe with their minds, because the enemy believes that there's a Jesus and it does them no good. Right? It's about having this intense relationship with God. I do not know how someone in any situation, any season of life, any piece of our history operates without Jesus Christ in their life. I don't understand it. I really don't. Life is a struggle with the power of the holy living God inside us every day. Can you imagine living your life without that? Can you imagine? And again, I think, and there's again, I try to be as honest as I know how with things that go on in my life, and try not to be too honest with that from time to time. But again, just where do we live in this place of power? Do we live in this place like, look, my circumstances are directing what's going on? And again, just like these guys here in verse 34, they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." Again, they're not getting it. They're thinking, again, still in this physical place. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Again, he's not talking about bread and drink. He's talking about when we really believe in here. Keep coming back to that place, because that's where we are in 1 John. "And this is a command, that we believe in the name of the Son of Christ and love one another." Believe. I mean, believe in this place where our sustenance only comes from God. And what we put into our bodies is just extra. It keeps this physical body breathing in and out, but that's it. That's not what should sustain us, because it doesn't. It's not life. Life only comes from Jesus Christ. Verse 36, "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." They're still not getting it. Even though all his explanations, I said to you and you have seen me, yet you do not believe. Here's people in life with Jesus, just saw the miracle done. I don't know if they'd seen other ones done, but they'd obviously seen this one and still didn't believe. And it's really for us to sit here with the whole totality of God's word, and we can read it all and go, "Well, you guys are so stupid." Really? There's been moments in my life, and I've seen the miraculous in my life. And I still think at times, my stupid brain sometimes, that, well, God's not faithful. He's going to fail me. Really? I have lots of accounts I can go back to, but the biggest account I can go back to is how many years ago? When we first moved back here, since we've been here, we moved into a house that should have killed all of us. Carbon monoxide, furnace was cracked, carbon monoxide is pumping into our house all winter long. None of us should survive. Michael was an infant. I was recovering from surgery. My mom and dad came and visited us for a couple weeks. They got violently sick the moment they walked into the door. Wow. And at that time, they were in their 70s. You don't talk about the miraculous. Nobody survives that. Devon asked a pediatrician, "What's the side effects of carbon monoxide poisoning?" The pediatrician says, "Death. That's the side effect." Oh, right? And I can give you more and more accounts, but that's like, there's lots of other miraculous accounts, but that's like in the physical world, just like they saw the feeding of the 5,000. That's a physical thing I can go back to, and there's no reason we should be alive. God let us survive so I could torture all of you. That's why. But anyway. But God has a plan. He has a plan for my life, obviously. He has a plan for my wife's life, my children's life, my parents' life. He had a plan in that moment not to take us, and he changed how things should operate in the physical realm and said, nah, not going to happen. You're going to get sick, but that's it. And you're, yeah.
Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
In that specific circumstance, I was really, really struggling with God and his faithfulness, his provision. Everything was just horrible during that. Michael was violently ill, he was hospitalized. Emily started having seizures. Zachary was just really foggy headed, couldn't do anything. Mark's surgery after surgery after surgery. He couldn't heal, he couldn't heal, he couldn't heal. I wasn't healing well from the emergency C-section that was Michael's birth. All of this was going on over months, and I was just like, what are you doing? Will you please just help? And then we found that out. So sometimes when you're right in the middle and you don't see it at all, you just don't feel like, look at all this stuff that's coming at us. He's like, I know exactly what's coming at you, and I've been hitting you in me. So
thank you. Thank you. So again, but I'm sure if we went around the day and we were real honest, we could all go to a point in time where we saw the miraculous in our life. I mean, outside of just our salvation, which is, I think, we just take too lightly. This ability to believe in him, this ability to come and have a relationship. I know I talk about that a lot. But I'm still wanting to operate in a place that I'm not even operating yet. A place of, I don't know if deeper belief is the right phrase. Because I think as we go along our journey and we have these things that come at us, and I think it strengthens our belief when we have moments in time like this. And we have moments in time when it doesn't have to be that fantastic or whatever, but it's just like a moment in time to do life together. Just, you know, the way that God designed men and women, the fact that we survive and don't kill each other every day is a miracle, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, you're right. I mean, it is a little funny. But it's just like the fact that he has ever come together to have relationships that last through anything other than, you know, a stubbed toe. And when those things fall apart, it's easy to go back to this place, and especially for a believer, and I know we're not supposed to judge, but I think that's only non-believers, by the way. I think we are supposed to call each other to account. If you want to call it judging or whatever, you can talk to me afterward. But when it comes to the bride of Christ, and my wife's always cautioned me not to pick on the bride of Christ, and I totally agree 100%. I'm not bad-mouthing the bride of Christ, but I'm saying I want the bride of Christ to look better. And if we just let each other continue to do whatever we want to do and just like, oh, it's not that big a deal, and we shouldn't call each other up to be more like, man, live in this place of power and authority and understanding of who God is in our lives, because we got to. Because the world has no clue. And the world has a lot of judgment against the church. My son was telling me about a football player at another school, how he was really excited because the coach that was coaching at this particular school, beginning of the season, walked in and said, all right, boys, I'm a Christian, and we're not going to have any cussing, we're not going to have any trash talking, we're not going to have any of that, we're going to have a great program. And then turned around and violated his own standard. He's the one that started the cussing, and he's the one that started the trash talking, and this young man was just crushed. Actually, it wasn't my son. It was somebody else told me. And that's what I'm talking about. We can't stand up and say we believe in Jesus Christ, and we can't say we're commanded to believe in him. We're commanded to love one another. And when we do these things, we abide in God, and he abides in us. And we have the Spirit who he's given us. God isn't changed. How we operate doesn't reflect on God. God doesn't change because we do things poorly. We're affected by it. The world is affected by it. And rightly so. It's like we can't preach a God who loves them, a God who has power, and a God who can solve their problems, and refuse to operate in it as so-called brothers and sisters and children of God. So that's why I go back, and my father asked me this week, what does it mean for me to really believe in the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son? And I know when you all said you do, and I believe that, and I operate that place too, but what does it really mean? How does it affect our daily walk? How does it affect when we go out into the world? And we use this phrase a lot too, and I don't want it to be kind of just be a catchphrase, but I want it to be the reality of the bride of Christ. That when we walk into a situation, to a room, we change the atmosphere. We as children of God should walk into an angry situation and bring peace. We should walk into a place filled with sorrow and bring hope and joy. And I think when we bring the other, it's more devastating than if we brought nothing at all. Well, that's a really sobering statement. When we don't operate in the place that we should, and not it's not about shoulds and all these kind of things, but it is a commandment. This is how we must be living our lives. Believe in the name of his son Jesus and love one another. Our generation has that. I think they're living the last days, and it's really easy for us to look at that and say the same thing. I don't know if we have 10 more minutes as a nation or 100 more years as a nation. I don't know. And to be quite frankly with you, I don't care. What I care about is how I live those next 10 minutes or next 100 years. Am I living in a place where people don't even have to ask me, but yet they run into Jesus Christ? Regardless of where I am, regardless of what I'm doing. You know, obviously, if I'm doing things that are not what Father would have me do, that's going to have the opposite effect. I understand that. But what I really want, again, to walk away with this morning is just that question. What does it mean for us as individuals to believe in Jesus Christ? Some of us might need to think about that. Because we've been doing this life for a long time, and that's great, and that's wonderful. It's not a question of faith. I have faith. God's wired me in a really unique way. If he said it, I believe it, and that's the end of it. Now, I still bang my head against that, right? But I don't question. I don't want to know all the whys and the wherefores and the ins and outs of that. But that's just me. But my faith comes to play because like that place of like, okay, I wired you in a really simple way, but what does it mean, son, when you say you believe in my son? What does it mean to the core of your existence? How does it change how you operate? How does it change how you think? How does it change how you interact with situations that come at you that you didn't want to happen or were out of your control or whatever it is? Don't get me wrong, I'm not asking for us to walk around giddy, happy all the time, right? When, you know, we get slammed in the face with something. So, oh, thank you, right? But at the same time, operate in this place of like, okay, that kind of stung for a second, but in the grand scheme of things, where what is this trying to teach me? What is I'm walking through? Where is my belief system? Is my belief system taking a hit, or am I pushing in harder? I'd pray for us that it would push us in harder instead of taking a hit when we start questioning and doubting and saying God isn't faithful. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenge in my own life this week as you asked me questions that weren't easy to answer. And still, pieces of them are still kind of rolling around in my mind, but Father, I know I cannot do this life without you. I can't. Because in you there's life, and in my efforts it's just death and wasted time. And when I'm operating in that place where I'm in you, Jesus, and I'm believing with everything that I have in you, and it's not about salvation for me, Father. You know it's about relationship. Because I know I'm sealed in you. I know I'm held in your hand. And now for me, it's just that refining fire that you put me through. And you just continue to scrape off the things that aren't, that you don't want to be part of my life. And Father, I know there's still lots to scrape off. Because I know me. But as good as I know me, you know me even better. You know all of us better than we know ourselves. And when we come to that place, as I pray your children will ask today, is what does it mean to believe? I mean, really believe. I mean, again, I don't think a lot of them, it's not going to be about salvation. It's going to be about how it impacts their daily life. Father, I continue just to pray that we become a people just in this place. I mean, I pray that for all your, for the whole bride of Christ, but here this morning, for our time, just the people in this room, the people that are normally here, Father, I pray that we would just be intensely passionate about this whole thing. That we want you, whatever that looks like in our life, more than anything else in life. It's not about all the things you can do for us. It's just having that relationship with you, and all the rest of it comes. So, Father, this morning I just pray ears to be opened, eyes to be opened. So maybe not a new truth, but just a more intense way of looking at our relationship with you. And our belief in you. Do we really believe that you are all the things you say you are? Because when doubt hits us, it's because we've stopped believing that you are who you say you are. Again, we just thank you that we get to have a relationship with you, that you want a relationship with us. And Father, as we go into this time of communion, that we just remember that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus, without you coming and paying that price once for all, we don't get to have this relationship with you. We don't get to have life here and now. We don't get to operate in freedom and power and all the things that you are. We don't get to operate in that without the cross. When in that one single moment in time, you took on the sins of the world, past, present, and future. And you paid the price once for all. May we never get used to that idea. May that idea never cease to
overwhelm us. We should be overwhelmed by that all the time. Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to do communion. I'm just going to read real quick here. I will when I get my eyes on. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." There's a statement. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But here's the difference. We get to proclaim the Lord's death and know that there's a resurrected Savior on the other end. All the other religions of the world had a religious leader that died. They didn't come back to life. Right? We get to proclaim this. Jesus died for our sins. I mean, that's the best testimony to give someone when they actually get to the point where they'll listen to you. You don't have to convince somebody they're a sinner. But it will blow their mind to know somebody died for them and paid the price. So I invite you to think about that as you come forward. We do open communion, so if you're a believer this morning, come on up, take the cup and the cracker. We went back to the old way. Because the new way was a anyway, so just come on up and then Brian will take a side for me. Yeah, just come up when you're ready. And then when you're ready, just take it personally in your chair there.
chef.